कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ते भूरिता जनाः. सो दिस् दीस् आर् दि टू साङ्ग्स् स्तोत्रास् विच् स्वामि विवेकानन्द हेड् कम्पोस्ड् स्पेशल्लि फार् अवर् ईवनिङ्ग् आरात्रिकं भजन् वेस्पर् सर्विस्. One is this Khandana, another is Om Hrim Ritam. And there is a special a significance to this Om Hrim Ritam. It is said Swamiji had a vision of what you call Dvadashakshari Mantra of Thakur. You know, Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishnaya. So this Om Hrim Ritam is not a very beautiful composition from a poetical point of view. It looks a little bit odd also from the poetical beauty point of view. But if you take the first, you know, if somebody has got that Om Hrim Ritam, you will see Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishnaya. So he took the first letter and every line in a stanza. You know, Om Hrim Ritam has four stanzas, each consisting of four lines, and first three line beginning the letter is Om Hrim Ritam Naktam Devam. So Moham Kasham Bhaktir Bhagascha Gachantyalam Vaktro Dhritopi Tejas Taranti Rage Krite Rithapade Martyam Ritam. Then what is the Krityam Karoti Kalusham in Snantam Shivam Sunilam Yasmadaham Rama Om Namo Bhagavate Rama Krishnaya. It comes out very clearly. Yeah. And it is one of the most beautiful compositions. Have you noticed? Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishna, that's what you get. So, what is the first description or best symbol of God? You see, an avatara is only a partial manifestation of God. That is why he is as a human being, he can't manifest everything. You must understand it. Because is the instrument limits the power. Suppose there is a huge tank, say this river, and you want to get the water, but you are only using a straw. How much water you can get? The river is not obstructing you, but the instrument which we are using is obstructing how much we can receive. Manifestation of divinity through any instrument is a limitation, including Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma means limitation. That's why Swamiji had made a wonderful statement. Saguna Brahma is the highest concept of God we can have from a human point of view. Now, there are also two factors connected with that. One is the manifestation of divinity or Brahman in the Saguna Brahma. The second factor is we who are thinking of the Saguna Brahma through our mind. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Saguna Brahma itself is a limitation of Brahman. Guna is the limitation. Even Sachidananda is a limitation. That's why it is not the real nature of God. You can't tell anything about Brahman. Description means limitation. And added to that, we are looking at that Saguna Brahma through our own limited concept. This is mind. Therefore, it is still further limited. There is an example, incident is there. The Ramakrishna very often used to ask his devotees, what do you think of me? Different devotees would give different answers, and every answer is correct, every answer shows how far that devotee had progressed. That is how Thakur used to, you know, judge how far his devotees have progressed in spiritual life. Simple. You ask, if you are a mathematic teacher, suppose there are so many students in front of you and you don't know which class they are. It's very easy to determine by asking a question. Progressively you give difficult, more difficult questions. Only upper class people would be able to give you the right answers. Then you can tell this person is in that high order. So this is the best concept we can have. And as far as a pure human mind is concerned, the highest concept we can have of God, God, Brahman, whatever you call, is Om. Now it is very interesting to know what is this Om. Om is by various names, it is called Pranava also. So that is considered as a symbol of both Saguna Brahma and also Nirguna Brahma. If you take Mandukya Upanishad, then it details how we should understand Omkara. How does it do it? It, see, the what we call the symbol Om has three syllables, A, O, and half makara. So it is, Swamiji explains it so beautifully. Of course, Upanishad explains it in its own way. I won't go into so many details, but in brief, every living being has three states throughout its life, every day. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Its reality consists of only when we are in the waking state, this is our reality. When we are in dream state, that is its reality. When we are in deep sleep, that is our reality. That is the first point. Second point is, whenever we are in one particular state of experience, automatically the other two become unreal. This is from one point of view. For an ordinary person, that is all we can experience. So, Omkara, from that point of view, A represents sthula, Jagradavastha, Sthula Prapancha, or three. That is Jagradavastha and Sthula Sharira and Sthula Prapancha. And when we are in dream state, that is called Swapnavastha. Swapnavastha, Sukshma Sharira and Sukshma Prapancha. And when we are in the Karanavastha, that is Karanavastha, then Karana Sharira and Karana Prapancha. Karana Prapancha means Karana Sharira and Karana Prapancha has no distinction, because Karana itself is the Prapancha. He doesn't see anything else. In Jagrat Avastha, and I am awake, I am here, and I see a tree, this, that. In dream, I am there, I see exactly in the same way. But in Karana Avastha, it is that what we don't see anything, because it is Karana. Karana means unmanifest. That is why there is no description possible. You can't describe a Karanavastha at all. This, you can't describe what is in the seed. When you are saying this is a seed, what you are saying is, I don't know what it is. Do you understand what I am talking about? Suppose an apple seed. To distinguish this apple seed from the mango seed, you are saying this is an apple seed. But what exactly is the apple seed? You will never be able to say. Why? Because you are thinking, oh, I know, I can describe it. This is how it will manifest. That is because you have seen. It is because you have seen an apple tree. If you had not seen an apple tree, all that you can tell is, this is an apple seed, this is a mango seed. How they look like, you have no clue, because it is non-manifest. You know, we take many things for granted. I know how it looks like. You know because you have already seen it. But if you have seen only the Karanavastha, then you will not know. When we ourselves enter into a Karanavastha, then we will not know what we look like, either in the Swapnavastha or Jagradavastha. Anyway, this is our every living creature's experience, Jagrat, Swapna, and Sushupti. For those who are a little more awakened, they also add one artha matra, they call it. It is also called Turiyavastha, not for us, only for those who are awakened. For them only, this avastha discrimination is shown. You know, this is Jagradavastha, this is Swapnavastha, this is Karanavastha, Sushuptiyavastha. Our experience doesn't go beyond it. Now here, what is this Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti? It is a Dvandvavastha. You know, Dvandva means I am here, I experience something. And then only I can say it is a Jagratavastha, it is Swapnavastha. In a very mild form, unmanaged, it is still there because I am witnessing it. You see, the point is, all the states I am witnessing. Yesterday we discussed it. If I become one with it, then I can't say what it is. This is very important for us to know. I will give you two examples. If a person is watching a drama, then he can judge which actor is acting well, etc. Or, isn't it? Suppose that person himself is the actor. How well he is acting, he will not know. He may think he knows. But it is only for others. This is the problem with us. We think we are all saints. Yeah, it's our common. I am such a good person. Why is this person not so good to me? How that person is perceiving me, we never put ourselves in the shoes of the other person. That is one example. Supposing there is a queue, say ticket to see a cinema or to buy something, there is a big, you know, whenever this Apple stores open, some stupid fellows will be waiting since previous night.
Yes.
So, suppose you are one of those persons. No, I mean, you. So, how many people have been queuing up? You will never know if you are one of the people who is queuing up. If you want to know how many people have queued up, you have to stand and count one by one. That was the trouble with Dashamastvamasi. So you see, for witnessing something which is constantly changing, there must be something which is unchanging. And all the time we are saying, I am seeing you. If I am seeing you, there are two eyes here. Not, I mean two eyes. Sometimes we have got Sahasraksha also. I don't mean that when we look at others. You know, I always give the comparison of telescope. When I am looking at you, I am looking from this small end of the telescope to the bigger end of the, how many faults you have. When I am looking at myself, I reverse that. practically I don't see any faults in myself. Okay. So, the moment we are saying, I am experiencing something, the experiencer is somebody, the experience is something else. Completely throughout this we are changing Jagrat Avastha to Swapna Avastha to Sushupti Avastha, again Jagrat Swapna. We are unable to distinguish ourselves from what we are experiencing. Even though we are saying, I am an experiencer. We are saying, I am seeing means what? In simple words, I am seeing means, I am not the seen. I am hearing means, I am not what is being heard. We are unable to distinguish it. Even though, all the time, we are never what we are seeing, what we are hearing. But after some time, we wake up. For them, the Upanishad is telling the fourth thing. What is it? It is called Turiya Avastha. Turiya means that you are separate from all these three. Without you, the three cannot exist. Two factors. What are those two factors? First factor is you are separate from the three. As an experience, you are an experiencer, you are a witness. So I said there are two eyes. One eye is identifying itself with the experience. In that sense, that is called experiencer. In the other sense, there is somebody who is never identified, and at the same time, he is witnessing both the experiencer and also the experience. Is that concept clear? Is it clear? You have to be very clear about it. Is it clear?
Can you repeat?
See, now I am teaching you, and you are the student. I am a teacher only if you are a student. This is an invariable relationship. If you are not a student, then I am not a teacher. So when I am teaching you, when you are listening to me, in both of us, there is a person who is talking, there is a person who is listening. So you, in you there are two, just as in me there are two, me and the teacher. In you and the listener, student. And witnessing both you and the person who is listening, there is another one. You see, sometimes we chide, pay attention. You are thinking something else. You are telling to yourself. That shows there is somebody who is constantly watching. He is not a teacher, he is not a listener, he is just a witness. So that part of the self which is involving with the experience, that is called experiencer. An experiencer is a combination of experiencer and experience. The Sakshi Chaitanya is neither the experiencer nor the experience, but a witness of both the experience and experiencer. You see? So we are not paying attention to him. When we are witnessing the Jagrat Avastha, then there is a Sakshi which is observing both. Because otherwise, experience is not possible if I am not mixing with experience. Do you understand that point? So what I am seeing, I am taking it into myself, making it part of me. That is called seer. And I am not using that word from the Advaitic Vedantic point of drashta. There drashta means sakshi, real atma. Here drashta means the jivatma who is experiencing it. So 24 hours non-interruptedly, these two facts are going on side by side. One is the experiencer along with the experience, another is the sakshi who is constantly witnessing it without any connection whatsoever. That's why we use our words also, you know. I will give two examples. I know myself. What do you mean by I know myself? Unless there are two eyes. One eye is who is experiencing, body-mind complex. Another eye, who is a witness to both these things. That's why we can judge ourselves. Oh, I was a stupid fellow when we say. Being stupid is one, and being able to judge that I am stupid is another, totally another. So, that is one example of that. The other example is constantly remaining aside, not even judging. So, how do we know? Because when we are in the waking state, we identify ourselves with the waking. When we are in dream state, identifying with the dream. When we are in sushupti, identifying with the sushupti. There must be somebody to say that this fellow is half an hour back he was in waking state, and 15 minutes back he was in a dream state, and now he is in a sushupti state. There is some.
Maharaj, is this where the modern Western psychology differs from Hindu psychology?
Absolutely. Because there are many things wrong. There are two important things wrong with Western psychology. The first is that they never accept there is something other than the mind. Mind means this, what we call consciousness, awareness, being aware of. This is a function of the mind. It's part and parcel of the function of the what we call mind. Vedanta philosophy completely disagrees on this. Mind itself is jada. Whatever is made an object is a jada. This is the definition, Vedanta definition. How do we know? Because the mind is witnessing the body. You know, my hand is moving, etc. The mind itself, here in this case, the mind is the witness and the body is being witnessed. But at some time, my mind is disturbed. Who is saying that?
Mind is saying to the mind.
No. Mind cannot say that. There is somebody else behind the mind, separate from the mind, who is observing the mind. He says, this particular mind is calm, now it is calm, now it is disturbed. That's why Patanjali Yoga Sutra, in the very beginning itself, he brings this concept. What is that? He says, tada drashtu swarupe avasthana. When the mind is not at all having any thought, there is no distinction between mind and self. Because when the mind is not functioning, who is to say this is mind and this is self? Vritti sarupyam itaratra. Other times any thought comes, we become identified with the self. But somebody is also saying, oh, you are getting identified with the thought. So this is one example. The second example is, sometimes we say, I am not well. Who are you? I am not well.
My body is.
Sometimes we say, my head is aching. So when I am saying I am not well, I am identified with the body. When I am saying my head is not well, then I am witnessing the body. That clearly shows, this is the first difference. There is no separate something called self, what Vedanta calls Atman, apart from the mind. Even more weird than that is this, that this what you call consciousness or awareness is an epiphenomena. Do you know what is epiphenomena? It is a byproduct of the phenomena. That is to say, when you are aware that you are seeing me, then your seeing me brings your awareness. when you are not seeing me, then you won't know whether there is any awareness, according to the psychologists. That is why, because they are trying to measure everything through this physical organism called brain. Vedanta completely disagrees and says there is a mind which has nothing to do with the brain. It uses the brain, but it also goes beyond the brain. So the analogy, as I think I gave you many times, suppose there is a weighing machine which can weigh 100 grams, you know, a letter weigher, weighing. So you put 10 grams letter, how much in the scale does it show its weight? Suppose you put 50 grams, how much it will show? Suppose you put 100 grams, how much it will show? Suppose you put 120, how much will it show? After 100, whatever weight you put, it can only show that much. So that instrument is severely limited. There are so many experiences which go beyond ordinary measurements. So Vedanta says, how are you going to explain this? But they won't listen to us. They say whatever cannot be measured, yeah, like Mullah Nasruddin. Mullah Nasruddin fainted, was unconscious, not breathing. So it appeared. So the doctor came, he examined thoroughly and declared him dead. After he was dead, so he woke up. And he said, when he was waking up, he heard that, you know, sorry madam, your husband is dead. So he woke up and said, no, I am not dead. His wife became furious. You think you know better than the doctor? So that is the condition of the modern psychologists. Whether you call them psychologists, scientists, their concept of reality is what is experienced. They are never focusing, there is somebody who is the experiencer of the content. They are not somehow focusing it. Even though their religion tells you, they say God. God is someone who is only all consciousness. Every mystic experience, but they say what we can't measure, we can't accept it. So this is the major difference. Another point connected with this is that suppose there are 10 children, babies born. 10 babies have got 10 different samskaras. You can, anybody can clearly see it. They themselves clearly see it. Some are more intelligent, some are more alert, and some are retarded, some are disabled. How do they explain it? How do, for example, how do they explain? Say a Mozart, you know, is able to play symphonies or compose symphonies at the age of 4 or 5. What is their explanation? No. I'm talking about scientists.
Genetic makeup.
But how can in your whole family such a phenomenon ever took place?
Mutation.
What it really means is we don't know, but we don't want to say that we don't know. So gene means you are very happy. Like, you know, one fellow, the husband, one wife took her husband to a doctor. Something wrong. He had no energy to do anything. Whole day he will be sitting in the swing and swinging. So the doctor took him inside and thoroughly examined and declared, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you, you are plumb lazy. He said, all right doctor, now give me a technical word I have to tell to my wife. It is like that. You know, they don't know the cause. But Vedanta tells, there must be, if this is an effect, there must be a cause. Any amount of genetic mutation cannot go beyond certain capacity. We have to understand that. If a small animal has neck was like that, next birth it mutated, it can only mutate this much. Unexplained mutation is not possible. It is a variation, a little bit of variation from what it already possesses. This is their own explanation. That is how a giraffe, it had become a giraffe. But a person, everybody is completely non-musical. One fellow is so musical. How this radical change comes, it is no explanation. And we don't want to believe it. Anyway, the great book, that is called Grand Design. Grand Design is, he wants to argue, Stephen Hawking wants to argue that God is not necessary, and the nature is doing everything. And Vedanta tells that is fine, we have no problem. What you call nature, we call God. That's what Swami Vivekananda said. What you scientists call matter, we call God. The nature is Prakriti, is nothing but Saguna Brahma. Yes, it is a simple truth. So, let us come back to the point. This Omkara is a symbol explained in that particular way. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. So, when a person after many, many lives, he understands that there is something else he suspects, doesn't know what it is, then this, he will go to a guru and this vichara starts. Not Telugu vicharam kadu. Vedanta vichara. Yeah, Telugu lo vicharam ante being sad. Being sad. I think Tamil also vicharam. Face is anta vicharam ga untaru ante, not that is very discriminative. Means very indiscriminate. Okay. So, the Omkara is a symbol in this sense for Saguna Brahma. Omkara is also best symbol for what you call Nirguna Brahma. In that sense, Omkara is explained as in one way, Sat, Chit and Ananda. And they are also qualities, abstract qualities, understandable by the human mind. Real Brahman is Vakmana Atita, cannot be thought, cannot be explained, that's why Maunam, Dakshinamurti symbolizes Maunam. In either case, who is an incarnation? What is his primary nature? He is both the Nirguna Brahma and Saguna Brahma. That's why we come here, Nirguna Gunamai, Niranjana Nararupadhara Nirguna Gunamai. So, Omkara is the best symbol for meditation, upasana. So, this whole universe is nothing but experience of Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti, what we call world. So, this totality of this experience is called Om, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara. But if somebody wants to go beyond that, then the Omkara is the only symbol which acts out as a pointer, Arundhati Nyaya or Shakha Chandra Nyaya. You know what is Shakha Chandra Nyaya? Shakha means branch. So somebody wants, after marriage or something, it is somebody who is thick myopia, is moon. Very dim moon. So where is the moon? So he said, do you see this big tree? And do you see there are two branches? And if you see through that branch, some light is filtering out. That is the moon. Indian priests are wonderful. The marriages take place, even daytime also. Arundhati Nyaya, you know. Then that is a very small star. So, it is supposed to be, you know, you should live like Vasishtha and Arundhati, just to, as a example. So, first point out something which he can understand, then a little subtler, then a little set. It's all pointers. Nyaya means pointers. Walk this way, nothing else. Nobody can give the what is called actual experience. When you are describing something, it is only a description. It is not an experience. You should always remember it. Experience cannot be transferred. Only information can be given. So Sri Ramakrishna, first of all, is both Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. In this case, it is predominantly Nirguna Brahma. He is Om Nirguna Brahma. How do we know? Because what is the next?
Hrim.
Hrim, according to Tantra, is Saguna Brahma, Shakti, Bija Mantra for Shakti, Bija Mantra for Holy Mother, Bija Mantra for Goddess, many goddesses, though they have their own special mantras. For Holy Mother, predominantly it is Hrim. He is also the Saguna Brahma. Then the descending order. This is Urtham Olam Athashyaka Ashvattham Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavi. First, what is the origin, root? Then, what is the thing that comes out? Then, what is it that comes out? So, how does this Saguna Brahma manifest itself in our experience? This is called holistic view. Nowadays, scientists take this holistic view, means there is a something which connects everything, a tree, a bird, a river, a mountain, a human being, everything is connected. Your economics are connected. The biggest example would be, why everybody is pacifying the Muslims? Do you think there is brotherly love? Brotherly love, you know brotherly love? In a classroom, there was a sister and brother study in the same class. So one day the teacher asked the boy, would you like to go to heaven? So he looked and said, is my sister also going there? Hindu chini, bhai bhai, brotherly love. So, what is the word that comes? Ritam, Om, Hrim, Ritam. What is Ritam? Simple translation, holistic view. What is holistic view? It is not our way of looking. It is not way of looking. It is description of what happens out there. Everything is first of all interconnected. Second, everything is perfect. Everything is like in a clock. There are so many pieces. And every piece has its function. The clock is the name of all the parts put together. If you remove all the parts, then there is nothing called clock. That is holistic idea. And the clock can function properly only if all the parts cooperate, are in good condition. That is called holistic view. This is called Ritam. Ritam means what? Everything is cooperating with everything. That is the first point. No, everything is connected with everything else. That is the first point. Everything is perfectly fitted for that particular purpose, and nothing is redundant, nothing is waste, nothing is unnecessary. Everything has its place is the second point. Third point, above all everything, the concept of Ritam means that all of us are receiving and all of us have to give out. That is the law. What we receive, it is just like water passing through a field. Let the field take the water, but let it pass on after taking water so that again it can receive. This is a cycle, you know. The solar rays, solar winds, they create rain. Rain falls on the mountain. Mountains create rivers. Rivers go and flow into the ocean. Ocean again rises up as steam. and steam becomes the clouds. The clouds again fall. This is a complete chakra, Brahma chakra. And we have to understand that rule, and our life also is a must become, fall into the rhythm. That concept, rhythm and satyam are very closely related. Satyam means what? Usually what we understand by satyam means that we, whatever we experience, we should describe it. This is a very very small, not even very important part of satyam. The real satyam is, definition is given by Thakur. What is satya? According to Thakur, mon, mok, akora, integration of personality. What we think, what we speak, and what we act out should be one. What does that mean? That means if a person is thinking, we would like to kill this fellow, and he will tell, I will kill you, and then he will kill him. Is that what it means, satyam? No, it means to be in rhythm with truth.
Master, if you don't mind, can you put the net all the way out of it in section?
You understand? To be truthful means in tune with truth. What is the truth? Everything is a manifestation of God.
Yes.
Everything is interconnected. That means everybody is our relative. Everything has a place. So life, sacredness of life, purity of life means what? Accept everything. See it in its true light. One simple example, you know, some wicked fellow came to Dakshineswar. Sri Ramakrishna was telling. And he went into the temple and he started reciting a hymn. And Sri Ramakrishna saw it. She said, this fellow is wicked. He is vibrating with wickedness. But what he saw is Divine Mother is manifesting in this person in the form of wickedness. This is our concept. The good, the evil, both are manifestation of the Divine Mother only. We are not able to understand this. We think that we must have only good people, not knowing how evil we are. Yeah. Since when you see a mosquito and do like this, from the mosquito's point of view, what are we? When you are having nice chicken nuggets, what do you think the chicken is thinking? Yeah. Seriously, if you are the that's a wrong statement. That's a completely wrong statement. You know why? Because that chicken can know only once. Another chicken also will know only once. Every chicken only knows once that this fellow is a murderer. Do you see the point?
In the community is known as the witness chicken.
Yes. So, this Saguna Brahma is manifesting as Ritam. Everything is good. Because even wicked, so-called evil and wickedness is necessary for running this world towards the evolution. That is a hard concept for us to understand. You know, an animal kills, a bigger animal kills a smaller animal. Now, for the smaller animal, this killing is wickedness. But if the bigger animal had not killed the smaller animal would not mutate. It will remain smaller animal. But once it is killed, then it starts thinking, how can I survive? That is how the desire creates some strategy by which it can, you know, evolve. This is how we all evolve in our body and mind. Rhythm, this concept of rhythm has produced two individual counter products, dharma and yajna. Dharma means to know this is right, this is what I am supposed to do. The concept of yajna again had evolved. One, the grossest manifestation of yajna is you light up some fire and go on putting things. The highest type of yajna is known as Brahma yajna, Brahma arpanam, Brahma haviri, etc. So, Ritam, O Lord, you are the Nirguna Brahma, you are the Saguna Brahma, you are manifesting in the form of this Ritam, so that is the conduct. So, we will have to become part, fit, that is called Sharanagati. Sharanagati means I will do my part as you, as part of you, not as separate from you, but as part of you. Supposing a cook does a Sharanagati to the guru. This guru visited a devotee and the woman was very devoted to the guru. Sharanagati, makes Ashtanga Pranayama, never gets up from there. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, not getting up at all from that position. What would be the condition of the guru? The guru will not be there, not for long. And if the guru is not there, the disciple also will not be there. It is only because of the guru, the discipleship is there. Guruship goes, discipleship also goes. You see, Sharanagati means what? Sharanagati means I will do everything for you. So, I will cook for you and do every service. This is the concept of Sharanagati, Ramanuja's concept of Sharanagati. What is that? Anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya varjanam. You know, that six qualities are there. That means I will do what pleases you and I will never do what displeases you. This is the concept. So, pritam, tvam achalaha means you are the sakshi chaitanya. Achalaha achyutaha. Achyutaha means one who doesn't deviate from the from his own nature. But Ramanuja Sampradayams give a slightly different explanation. Achyuta means that once God says, this is my devotee, whatever the devotee does, good or bad, God will not give him up. That's why he is called Achyuta. From that point of view, you know, Vibhishana came and said, I am your devotee. And then some people discouraged Rama. This man must be a spy. And then Hanuman says, he had taken refuge in you. So it is, you cannot refuse him. Then Rama himself clarifies the position. Once a man says, O Lord, I belong to you. Thereafter, I will never give him up. He may give me up, but I will not give him up. That quality of not giving up the devotees who come to him, it is called Achyuta. Beautiful, you know. That is our hope. Otherwise, do you think that supposing your devotion, your working in the office is like your devotion to Sri Ramakrishna? How long will they keep you in the office? You understand? You understand?
8 to 5.
No, that's what I said. One day you think you are a good man and you feel like meditating. Another day you think it is no good, no use. You don't meditate. So, like that if you work in the office, do you think they are going to keep you in the office? But God is not like that. Okay, is my child good or bad? I accept. That is called quality of Achyuta, motherliness. Good child, autistic child, or disabled child, parents should never give them up. That is the idea. Tomachalaha gunajit gunedhyaha. Guna Jit means, one meaning is he who had conquered, is master of the gunas. Extension of that same, another meaning is, he is, who is a master? One who is the gunas. See the point? Like, it is like this. There is a rich man and there is a poor boy. So the poor boy somehow begs the rich man, oh, please give me some money. He may give, okay, out of compassion. That is not mastery. Suppose that poor boy is adopted by the rich man, then you know he have a legal right. It's my property. After all, I am your child. I have got my right. That is called the mastery in one way of speaking. This whole gunas means prakriti. Who is the master? Purusha. So he, in that sense, he is the master. Master means what? He can work with the gunas, or he can override the gunas, or he can completely remove the gunas. God can make laws, or he can also break the laws, because he is the master, Gunajit. Or from a sadhaka point of view, Gunajit means he is not at all affected by the gunas. Sri Ramakrishna was never affected because he was a master of gunas. Guneya, and yet he is the most adorable, he has the most adorable gunas. Asesha Kalyana Guna Nithi, Gunasagara, is an ocean of infinite auspicious qualities. For devotees, he is Kalyana, Shiva. This is a description of Shiva. You see, Shiva is a drinker of poison, and all snakes and all those things are. But those who take, in, it comes in that Pushpadantas, Shiva Mahimna Stotra, that your, those who take your name, only good happens to them. Shiva, the very word, meaning of the word Shiva means
auspiciousness.
So, the incarnation, every incarnation, full, he is a master of gunas in the sense, when he wants, he can go beyond the gunas. But for his devotees' sake, he assumes gunas. And here is an interesting interpretation. We divide people into two categories. This is devotees, this is non. Tell me, who is not a devotee of God? Everybody is a devotee of God. Everybody is worshipping God with his or her own idea. Only they are not, what we call God, he is not calling. You know, Shiva. So for a worldly man, maybe the boss is God, or his wife is God. Some God is there. You know, money is God. Name and fame is, whatever rules us, that is our God. Whatever desire rules, that desire is our, is it not? We are devotees of that God. So in that sense, you see, even if somebody is drinking this water, somebody is drinking Coca-Cola, somebody is drinking wine, actually, what are they drinking? If you drink water, is he not drinking God? If he is drinking Coca-Cola, is he not drinking God? If he is drinking wine, is he not drinking God? In another way of speaking, is not Divine Mother the wine? This is the truth. Ultimately, you know, if you look a little beyond, nobody drinks water for the sake of the water. It is for Ananda, to get rid of his thirst. Nobody drinks Coca-Cola because your Coca-Cola company fellow is your friend or something like that. Actually, they don't drink. They know the truth about it. Yeah. So, nobody drinks anything, nobody eats anything, nobody does anything. Everybody is only experiencing God in a different form, is it not? And how does God look? Does he make a division? These are my devotees and these are my non-devotees. Can God ever make that division? It is not possible for God. We make God do it. This, you know, for you, and then we also get very angry. For your non-devotee, you are so favorable. For your devotee, you are not so favorable. Yeah? There was a Jew. There were two Jews, side by side, neighbors. One fellow never believed in God, never went to synagogue, never took God's name. He was prospering. The other fellow, at every footstep, he will shout, "God, God, God," like that. And he never became any, he always remained poor. 8 years passed. His frustration was growing because his neighbor's wealth was growing. One day he cried out, "What is this injustice? I never take one step without taking your name. And this fellow never takes your name. He is prospering and I am nothing comes, I am not complaining, but still I want to know why." Then God's voice came, "That's because Joshua, you are boring me so much." You see, there was in a flat, in a block of flats, one lady was there. She was a devotee of Radha. So constantly she goes on saying, "Radha, Radha, Radha." Her name was also Radha. There was a neighbor. She could not tolerate this shouting. So when she started saying Radha, Radha, this lady also started, "Radha, eh, Radha, eh, Radha." That lady got very angry, the devotee. "What is this? I am taking my God's name and you are disturbing so much. Don't do that." Again, "Radha, Radha," she started repeating. This lady started. This lady got very nice. Same conversation took place. Third time the same thing happened. That devotee got so angry. "So if you raise your voice once more, I will give." Then that lady, "Radha, just let me try to explain to you. You know, I only called you Radha, Radha 10 times. You get so annoyed." "How many times you are calling Radha, Radha?" How much that lady must be annoyed. Valid point is, how much God puts up with our babbling when we are incapable of putting up with a little disturbance from others. I'm not saying they should disturb. This is the nature of the world, you know. Sometimes happy, sometimes not happy. If we lose our patience and if we judge God by the same standard, then he should be very annoyed with us.
Extremely patient.
Choice. You learn how to be calm and quiet under these circumstances. Then you understand God better. And how much you are annoying the neighbors. Or the raccoons or whatever. The idea is that without changing the life, if somebody is, you know, a wicked fellow, is going on calling your name without loving you, will you not get annoyed? Suppose that person really loves you, obeys you, that you would like to be called by that person. Is it not? This is the idea. Without getting better ourselves, we are expecting God to become better. Yes, 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 that is accepted. But the thing is, we have to consciously attempt to change. There are people, mechanically they go on doing it. And that is not acceptable to God. Everything has its own karma phala. You know, if you take God's name, it will have some effect. But the main purpose for which you are taking God's name is to become better people ourselves, is it not? That is the idea. Anyway, so gunajit gunetyaha. What gunas? That is again a wonderful thing. Well, how do you describe God with what qualities? The idea is, whatever quality a devotee is short of and he requires for further development, that is the quality God should be called upon. This is guna dhyana, that's what we have to do. So if he doesn't have, how can he give us? So he is full of that qualities. Gunedhyaha, gunajit gunedhyaha. It says naktandi, this is your nature. Naktandivam. Nakta means night. Divam means day and night. Night and day. Tava padam, your lotus feet. Sa karunam, it is the greatest humility or dina bhava it is called. I am helpless, you are my help. Nabhaje etoham, I do not worship you, remember you. Esmadaham, what is that? Naktandivam. Mohankasham. What kind of lotus feet? Mohan kasham. Moha means delusion. Kasham means what? That which destroys moha. Moha means here delusion. Ignorance. So darkness. Darkness is dispelled by what?
Light.
Just like that. The moha is ajnana. Is what is the opposite of ajnana? Jnana. Right knowledge. So your lotus feet dispel my delusion, my ignorance. Moham kasham. Bahukritam. What does bahukritam mean? Bahu means what?
Many.
Kritam means what? So
nice.
Worshipping your lotus feet in various ways. And continuously, naktandivam, sometimes you worship, sometimes you do japa, sometimes you sing, sometimes you read, sometimes you go on a pilgrimage, sometimes you do service, various ways, I did not worship. Nabhaje etoham. What would be my condition? You are so great and I can get everything from you and you have brought bhaktarjana yugala charana. For the sake of the bhaktas, and so you have created your own feet. So nabhaje etoham, I am very poor condition, in a very poor condition. There is practically no hope. Tasmat tvameva sharanam mama, you are my only refuge. But how can you be refuge? Because you are dinabandhu. Dinabandhu means what? That is helper of the helpless. Dinabandhu, helper of the helpless. Yamunacharya has written a stotram, Stotra Ratna, that he says, O Lord, your name is Dinabandhu. And you won't get another Dina like me. So if you want to retain your title, you better come and rescue me. Kannada song also. Karunakarane. Why did you have this title? And Vara Birudugalu Uliya Bekadare Tvaritadi Kayo Purandara Vitala. Vara Birudu means title. That you are God, you are a giver of varas, etc. If you want to keep those titles, it's like Olympic Games. Every time he has to follow the race. Otherwise, every year, you know, one devotee he rescues, he gets Olympic first prize. Another devotee, again he is calling. But if he wants to keep the title, Yeah, otherwise he will lose. Somebody else will come. ವರ ಬಿರುದುಗಳು ಉಳಿಯಬೇಕಾದರೆ ತ್ವರಿತದಿ ಕಾಯೋ ಪುರಂದರ ವಿಟ. ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್, ದಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೋ ಹೌ ಟು ಕ್ಯಾಚ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್. ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಟೈಮ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್? ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಸ್ಟಾಪ್? ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಡೂ? ಸೊ ಡು ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ? ಓಕೆ, ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಗಶ್ಚ ಭಜನ. ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ? ಭಕ್ತಿ ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್? ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ? ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್, ಡಿವೋಷನ್. ದೆನ್ ಭಗಃ, ಭಗವಾನ್. ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಟ್ ಭಗ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಭಗವಾನ್. ಭಗ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್: ಕೀರ್ತಿ, ಯಶಃ, ವೀರ್ಯ, ಬಲ, ತೇಜೋ, ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನ. ಭಗ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನ. ಸೊ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಜ್ಞಾನ. ಭಜನಂ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಜನ? ದಿ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಭಜನ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್, ಸಿಂಗ್. ಅನದರ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೇವಾ, ಸರ್ವೀಸ್. ಭಜನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸರ್ವೀಸ್. ಗುರು ಭಜನ ಕೊರೋ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟಿಲ್ ಈವ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಯುವರ್ ಓನ್ ಲಂಚ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗೋ ಆನ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಗುರುಸ್ ಭಜನ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಪೂರ್ ಗುರು ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ಫಾಸ್ಟ್, ಲಂಚ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಪ್ಪರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ರಾಘವೇಂದ್ರ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಐ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಯು ರಾಘವೇಂದ್ರ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಇನ್ ಕೇರಳ ಕಾಲ್ ರಾಘವೇಂದ್ರ, ನಾಟ್ ರಾಘವೇಂದ್ರ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ನೋ ಕೇರಳ, ನಾರಾಯಣ ಗುರು. ನಾರಾಯಣ ಗುರು, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಫೇಮಸ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ವಿವೇಕಾನಂದ ಮೆಟ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಥೌಸಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಎವ್ರಿ ಇಯರ್ ದೇ ಯೂಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಟು ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್ಡೇ. ಮೇಕ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಸಿಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪೆಂಡಾಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹ್ಯೂಜ್ ಹೀಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೂಜಾ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಓಲ್ಡ್. ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಸೆಡ್ ಐ ಕಾಂಟ್ ಸಿಟ್ ಎನಿ ಲಾಂಗರ್. ದೇ ಸೆಡ್ ಡೋಂಟ್ ವರಿ, ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ ಫೋಟೋ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಯುವರ್ ಫೋಟೋ. ಸೊ ದೇ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದೇರ್. ಯು ಭಜನ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಹ್ಯೂಜ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅನ್ನರಾಶಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್. 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್. ದಿಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಹಂಗ್ರಿ. ಸ್ಲೋರಿ ವಿತ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಹಿ ವಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆಡ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹಂಗ್ರಿ, ಗಿವ್ ಮಿ ಲಿಟಲ್. ಭಜನ, ಭಜನ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್. ಸೊ ಭಜನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೇವಾ, ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ. ಸೊ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಇದರ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಡಿವೋಷನ್, ಡಿವೋಷನ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆರ್ ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ಗಾಡ್. ಭವ ಭೇದಕಾರಿ ಇನಫ್ ಟು ಬ್ರೇಕ್ ದಿ ಬಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರ, ಅಜ್ಞಾನ. ಭವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್, ಅಜ್ಞಾನ. ಇನಫ್ ಇದರ್ ಪಾತ್, ಭಕ್ತಿಯೋಗ, ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗ, ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ, ಮೋರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನಫ್. ಗಚ್ಚಂತಿ ಅಲಂ, ಅಲಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್. ಇನಫ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಇನಫ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಇನಫ್. ಗಚ್ಚಂತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಪಾತ್ಸ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಯು, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಇನಫ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಒನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆರ್ ಗಿವ್ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ದರ್ಶನ, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್. ಸು ವಿಪುಲಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನಫ್, ಮೋರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನಫ್. ಎನಿ ಪಾತ್ ಈಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಗಮನಾಯ ತತ್ವಂ. ತತ್ವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ತತ್ವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ತತ್ವಮಸಿ, ತತ್ವ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ತತ್ವಂ, ದೌ ಆರ್ಟ್ ದಟ್. ದಿಸ್ ಅಸಿ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ವೆರ್ಬ್. Yeah, sometimes we don't need to use the verb. Yeah, musical chair, the last person, you don't need to say that. Yeah. You are, enough. You don't need to say you are out, you are, enough. Tattva means truth. So to reach the gamanaya means to attain the truth, to reach the truth, to have God realization, devotion, knowledge, karma yoga, any of these are more than enough. And I know it. And I give lectures on it. Vaktro dhrutopi. Even though I am going on telling this again and again. Name bhati kinchit. I don't do anything. Name bhati means intellectually I understand. I really don't understand. That means I am not having devotion. I am not having jnana. And much less I serve anybody else. Vaktro dhrutopi. Even though I'm going on telling about this, it is enough, it is enough, it is enough, I know everything. Na me bhati kinchit, na cha bhati kinchit. These are variations are there. That all that it means is that I am not able to use any of them. I don't have knowledge, I don't have devotion, and I don't have seva bhava. Tasmat tvameva sharanam mama dina bandho. Teja taranti tarasa tvayi tripta trishna. Tvayi means in you, tripta trishna. They whose desires are only pitched or directed and whose only desire is you. All desires means one desire manifesting as many desires. I want to fan you, I want to decorate you, I want to prostrate to you, I want to do pradakshina to you, I want to cook for you. It appears as though these are various activities, but all are directed only towards you. For example, this is a wonderful phenomenon. Any animal, like dog, tiger, gives birth to the baby. Thereafter, what do you think the mother's attention, desire? Only one. How to feed, how to protect. It will give its life. And this wonderful thing, you know, David Attenborough shows, when the lioness is always very small animal compared to the lion. If the lion wants to attack the lioness, it is nothing. But when the lioness gives birth to a cub, if the lion comes anywhere near, it will not hesitate. And the lion also knows. It has tenfold strength now, even though it is a small animal. And it won't dare. It simply it understands and runs away. The lioness is ready to die. You know, some other animals do come and attack. It will die first, rather than allow the babies to be killed. So that way, a devotee, true devotee, is only tvayi tripta trishna. Only they are satisfied in God. So all these activities have only one aim, love. If you love your baby, your mind is always going round and round the baby. That is the idea. Rage krite. Tejaha means what? Quickly. Tejaha means this, rajoguna, is samsara, it means samsara. Tarasa means very easily. Tvayi tripta trishna. If only a person pitches all his desires in God, he will overcome samsara sagara very easily. And it is a wonderful sense. What is the sense? Only a person who is not interested in samsara, only he can direct his desire to God, not anybody else. There is nothing called putting 2 feet in 2 boats. Tejaha taranti tarasa tvai rage krite rita pathe tvai Ramakrishne. Here he uses the word Ram, because it is about Ramakrishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Ramakrishnaya. Rage krite means completely attached. Raga means what? Attachment. Tvai Ramakrishne. How do I know that we can say, oh, I am only attached to you? Rita pathe. If anybody loves Ramakrishna, then the path he treads must also be dharma patha. It is not I will love God, but I will go in the immoral way. Means what? A fellow says, I am going to the east, but he is all the while going to the west. He is saying, I want to go to the east, but he is doing in practice, going in the opposite. Anybody who loves God, God means what? Satya, dharma. If that is God, then how can he go asatya and adharma marga? Is not possible. Rage krite toi pati tripta trishna. So all these are connected. A person who first must follow dharma marga, krita means what? Straight. Krita, another meaning of krita means straight path, not crooked path, moral path. So such people alone can be satisfied, or only those who are satisfied in God can tread moral path. They are connected either way. So simultaneously they love God, they follow good path. They follow good path and they love God. Such people, what happens to them? Martya amritam tavapadam marana urmi nasham. Nasham means destruction. Urmi means
waves. Of life and death.
Everything. Ups and downs. Morning and evening, spring and summer and rainy and seasons, good and evil, health and ill health. It's continuously an ocean. The waves are going up. But here, marana means everybody, all of us are afraid of death. So, what is the way for them? If somebody loves God and therefore leads a moral life, so-called spiritual life, then what happens? Martya, martyaha amrutam. For martyas, martya means marana dharmas, those who are liable to die. Amartya, that's why you say amartya. Devas, devatas are called amartyas. Yeah. Martya amritam tava padam. Your lotus feet means here God himself. Marana urmi nasham. You become the destroyer of death. That means what? He lives eternally. That means what? He will not have birth. You will have birth, but you will live eternally. Like Ashwatthama. That is terrible. That means you will not have body. Here birth means you will not have body. That means you will not have an instrument. That means you will not have limitation. That is the meaning. So, that is the meaning of the third. So, what is the fourth one? Krityam karoti kalusham kuhaka antakari. Kuhaka means what? Kuha. Darkness. Here ignorance. Antakari. Antakari means one brings it to an end, like the sun brings the night to an end. That is your nature, because that is the nature of knowledge. Jnana anjana vimala nayana vikshane moha jaya. That is it rhymes here. Krityam karoti kalusham. Kalusham means impurity. So impurity, even if there is impurity, it becomes kritya. Kritya means it becomes sukruta, good action. Even an impure person becomes a pure person. You purify that person because that is the nature of, that is your nature. You know, this is something, there are some things, dirty water. Then there is one kind of seed we put. Guru Vindaginja antame. So if you put that, all the dirt, sediment will go down and the water remains very pure, like your purifier, this one. So that is the apt example, you know. You just turn the tap, then impure water will become pure. Krityam karoti kalusham karmam
kritiyam karoti kuhaka antakari, because you are the destroyer of ignorance. That means what? Even a wicked person turns into a very greatest actioner of purity. Because what is it that makes a person bad? Not the actions, his understanding. Once he understands that what I am doing is bad and it will only bring me unhappiness, once he understands if I do this it will give me happiness, then he will immediately turn, like Valmiki, or you can say like Girish Chandra Ghosh, or like Manmatha. He wanted to beat up Thakur. And then Thakur went and said, who is that? Who wants to beat me up? Know that?
No.
I think it was Yoganma invited Thakur. She was a widow. She was in the middle age, you must understand. She was younger than Holy Mother. So she invited Thakur to her house. She had a brother who didn't like. Thakur was not very old, you must always remember. He was in his 40s. Yes, this was just before his death, 44, 45, whatever. And she invited him. And that, in those days, that wasn't considered as a good action. What do these, a man with whom you have no connection, you are inviting, and your sister is a widow, she is also a young woman, like that. So he hired this Manmatha to beat up Thakur. See how Thakur bestows his grace. This is how he created this road, Kaliya. He wanted to bestow his grace. That's why he created like that scenery. Because Kaliya could have gone anywhere. Why he was born in that near where God is going to come? So this Manmatha was standing outside. Kirtan was going on inside. Thakur suddenly got up. Kirtan was going on. He rushed outside and said, who wants to beat me up? Come on. Went and caught hold of Manmatha. Simply jellyfish. Like, you know, he sank. What can be done, this man? That's what he did to that Rajala, poor Rajala also. That's later on. So, this Manmatha, he simply fell down. He could not even get up. Then Thakur had bestowed his grace in that form, and from that time, only one word used to come, Prananath, 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 and he died like that. Several years later, Swamiji went to see. Do you think you want to challenge Thakur and then beat him up and he will come running? Yes, you try it. Yeah, he won't come. He won't even think about it. He must have done great punya to be able to turn.
Yes.
The other one, you know, Hanuman Singh, the watchman at Dakshineswar.
Oh, yes.
So every day he used to fast, come to Thakur and touch his feet. And Thakur is, you will win. How did you think this lean and thin fellow won? There was a cartoon, Telugu cartoon. There was, you know, there was a pahalwan, like this, married fellow. He had a wife, like a small stick. So on the stage, they put this, you know, this, what is called, that weightlifting, huge. 200 kg, 120 kg, all those. So one after the other, they were putting, simply was lifting. The whole audience was clapping like that. You know, that is such a wonderful feat. And after receiving ovation, he went. As soon as he went, his wife came, picked up the whole lot. Picked up the whole lot. All those weights and everything.
So they're all cardboard.
So they're all cardboard weights. You know, nobody was appreciating her. Simply all of them she picked up like this and walking out.
But a wonderful cartoon, you know. He was simply showing his muscles like that, one after the like the simply she picked up and then walking. How can this Hanuman Singh win over that fellow? Some miracle must have happened. So who fought? Yeah. Not only that, Thakur was so interesting character, you know. That every day he used to go and examine that fellow's stools. The other Pahalwans. He was eating chickens, eggs, ghee and doing kasrat. Every day morning Thakur will go and examine his stool. And then he goes and he comes and says, that fellow, he is not digesting all these things. There in the great master. Yeah. So you know, huh? Yeah, when the time came, he became so fat, this fellow will jump and give one blow. By that time he finds out who gave the blow from the other side. Simply jumping round and giving blow. Because you know the reaction, that fellow has become so fat. Thakur's grace was there. The point is, he couldn't have won unless there was Thakur's grace. He was a worshipper of Hanuman also. That is why Hanuman, you know, in the Mahabharata, is you put me in the flag of Arjuna. And I will simply finish them off. Even by my looks, with my looks. And afterwards you just go and do a little bit.
Finishing touches.
What
they wondered about that, then you put me on the dvaja, there are other instances also.
Yeah.
It's a significance, but...
No, Hanuman promised, you put me there, my symbol, in a subtle form, I will finish them, take away their energy. And then you just go and do a little bit work. And you get the name and fame. Arjuna won. Actually, that is Arjuna is never won. Already those fellows were killed.
Krishna.
Yes, mayai vaite nihataha purvameva nimitta matram bhava saviya sachin. I had already killed them. You just go and then get your glory.
Go play your role.
Yeah, this, you know, Arjuna and Uttara, that Draupadi's brother. So, this Uttara Kumara, he was doing, I will do alone. And Arjuna, as he is Sarathi, he says, you just be there. That fellow fainted. But he promised his sister, I will bring the, you know, cloths and special things for your play, dolls play. But after Arjuna finished the whole lot, then this fellow, Uttara Kumara, he goes, simply, bravely he goes, cuts off everything, and then proudly he goes. Arjuna, because he didn't want to reveal. Anyway, the whole point is, there is a divine power which is working. That's important. But is that nice? Okay. So krityam karoti kalusham kuhakantakari then shnantam. What is shnantam? Antam means the last letter in Ramakrishna. Your name ends with shna. Ramakrishna.
Oh, attraction power.
The ending letter of your name is Shna, Rama Krishna.
Oh, literally saying that. Oh.
Shnantam, Shivam. It's so auspicious. Just if somebody repeats your name, he will get all auspiciousness. Su Vimalam. It is such a purity. Vimala means, Mala means impurity, mud. And Vimala means that with that which removes the impurities. It is pure. Not only pure, very, very pure. Suvimalam. Prefixes. Suvimalam. What? What is that? That ends in Shnam.
what is it that removes the impurities? What is it? Natha, O Lord, Tava Nama, your name. Yes, Mat, because this is the truth. Aham tu asharanaha. I do not have any other refuge. Then who is my refuge? Not only you are my refuge, you are the refuge of the whole world. Jagat Eka Gamya. Everybody ultimately has to take refuge in God only. This is the truth. You want to exist, take refuge in Sat. You want to have knowledge, take refuge in Chit. And you want to get Ananda, take refuge in Ananda. You take refuge in Satchidananda. Sat, Chit and Ananda. Jagadekam, everybody wants it only. Every atom wants to exist. No atom wants to be destroyed. It rebels. Why are we breathing all the time? Because we want to exist. This is the truth. And we don't want simply to exist like vegetables. We want to know that we are existing. And we simply don't want to know that we are existing. We want to live happily. Ananda. Yeah. All these go together. Ananda, knowledge and existence. Then I am happy means what? I am happy. When we say it involves three things. First, I am. And I know I am. And I know I am happy. Though we don't spell it out, but that's what our every word we are saying, that every breath we are saying. Tasmat tvameva sharanam mama dinabhan. Why is he uses that word jagadeka gamya? So if I do not need sharanagati, then I will not take refuge in you. I don't need. If there are so many ways or so many persons in whom I can take refuge, then I have a choice. I can take refuge in this, in the other one, in the other one. But this is the truth. For the whole world, there is only one choice, which is God. And I am in the world, and I don't have any other refuge. Therefore, I take refuge in you, O Lord, O helper of the Sharanam Mama Dina Bandhu. Then that is the Omrimrit. Then we have got what you call Om Sthapakaidam, which we will discuss probably tomorrow or something, and then